Scripture reading today is from John 12:15, Zechariah 9:9, Ephesians 3:19, and Hebrews 12:2. John 12:15, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Ephesians 3:19, "And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Hebrews 12:2, "Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." We give thanks. Scripture. For the word of God within us. And the word of God among us.
Amen. You may be seated. All right, well, before we get started with the sermon, I have been approached and asked a few times by a few people, what is Maundy Thursday? What is Maundy Thursday? And no, Maundy Thursday is not a typo for Monday Thursday. It is Maundy Thursday. It is known as Holy Thursday or Sheer Thursday, among other names. It is part of the Holy Week leading up to the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And it commemorates the events known as the washing of the feet and the Last Supper. So this day is part of the Holy Week leading to Easter, and Maundy Thursday comes after Holy Wednesday and before Good Friday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's right in the middle there. And these occasions, these special days of Holy Week, they lead us all through the process of Jesus's triumphal entry, which you'll see starts over here with the palms, and we work our way all the way through the week to the Last Supper and the washing of the feet down there. We've got Peter denying Jesus with the rooster crow. We've got the dice to gamble for his garments, and we've got all the way through. It's fantastic. Altar representation of Holy Week. Yes, a round of applause is due for Linda and Maggie. That is just amazing. So Maundy means, in and of itself, refers to the ceremony of the washing of the feet of the poor, especially commemorating Jesus' washing of his disciples' feet on Maundy Thursday. The word Maundy was first recorded around 1250 to 1300, and it comes from the Old French, mandé, which in turn comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means mandate or command. Means what it sounds like in our English. Of course, we get the English word mandate from mandatum. So this specific mandate or command that is referred to on Maundy Thursday refers to the words that Jesus spoke after washing the feet of his disciples during the Last Supper. So in John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So the words "new commandment" here are translated from the Latin phrase "novum mandatum." So that is where we get Maundy Thursday. We get Maundy Thursday out of "novum mandatum," or "the new command I give you to love one another." So what about the washing of the feet? Well, during this Last Supper, Jesus washed the feet of his 12 disciples as they shared their final meal. And the meaning of this washing of feet is layered, right? There are many, many meanings to it. It is said that in the ancient world, a host would offer water to their guests to wash their feet. As you can see, the sandals were the traditional footwear. And so walking around on dirt roads and paths often meant you had rather dirty feet. And washing feet is a sign of hospitality, of welcome and care. It is also an act of humility, as the servants were often tasked with washing the feet. It wasn't the host. The host may have offered the water, but it was actually the servant who had the task of washing feet. So why would the Son of God do something so lowly? Right? We've come to interpret Jesus' washing of the feet as an illustration of humble mission in service. And the act is also symbolic of the cleansing of sin from believers. And so Jesus' new commandment, his mandate, his Maundy Thursday, was urging his disciples to show forgiveness to all in the love of God. So today, not many people practice foot washing regularly. And I won't be washing your guys' feet on Thursday. I'm sorry if that's what you were hoping for. But we have a different experience in mind for Maundy Thursday this year. But that is where Maundy comes from. Mandate, and it is the command to love one another as I have loved you, as Jesus gave to us at the washing of the feet of his disciples. So hopefully that helps illuminate Maundy Thursday for you. I get a thumbs up. All right. So now on to our sermon. Watch what he does. Watch what he does, especially on this Palm Sunday. Does anybody know what the first video that was ever posted to YouTube was called? Nope. Me at the Zoo. That's it. Yes, Me at the Zoo. It was just 19 seconds long, and it was posted in 2005 by YouTube's co-founder, Jawed Karim. And in the video, Karim stands in front of some elephants and explains how they have very long trunks. In fact, it's just 19 seconds, so let's watch it for ourselves.
All right, so here we are, one of the elephants. Cool thing about these guys is that they have really, really, really long trunks, and that's cool. And that's pretty much all there is to say.
Really, really long trunks, and that's cool. Not groundbreaking information there, right? But it was a groundbreaking accomplishment. The first YouTube video paved the way for millions and millions of videos that would be watched. Billions of minutes have been streamed and watched on YouTube, right? Today, many people turn to YouTube to learn how to do something. If you need help with a car problem, YouTube has videos for that. Believe me when I say that Danita and I have done many repairs on our vehicles that have saved us quite a bit of money over the years, thanks to YouTube videos, those how-to videos. Need to know how to take your van door apart? They got videos for that. Have you ever struggled tying a tie? They have videos for that, right, Jameson? Yeah. Are you trying to figure out how to master a Rubik's Cube? There are thousands of how-to videos that await you for that. Whatever it may be, there is a how-to video for that. Why are these how-to videos so successful? Well, it's pretty simple. Watching someone else is the easiest way to learn, especially when you can pause and rewind over and over again. See, when you read written instructions, you engage your mind. When you hear step-by-step instructions, it engages your ears. However, watching a person doing the task and explaining it at the same time engages your eyes, your ears, your mind, and everything else in the learning process. Well, God offers us that same how-to explanation because God wants you to know Him and His love. And as we hear in Ephesians 3:19, God wants us to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So rather than only giving us written instructions in our Bible about His love, and particularly in what we call the Old Testament, God took the additional steps and came into this world in Jesus to be love for us here and now. So rather than just tell us about His love, God came in Jesus to show us His love for us. Countless people beheld Jesus with their own eyes and they watched what He did. At His birth, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, Magi, Simeon, Anna, and many others beheld the Christ child who had come into the world. Echoing the response of the shepherds, all of these people in some way said, "Let us go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Throughout His ministry, countless people watched as Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven near. They watched as Jesus took mud in His hands and put it on the eyes of a blind man and healed him. They beheld Jesus with bread and fish in hand and saw it miraculously feed multitudes of people. They watched Jesus engage invisible people, the people whom everyone else looked right past as if they did not exist. Jesus looked at them. They saw, they heard, and they felt the water that Jesus used to wash their dirty feet in the upper room at the Last Supper. As the final days of His ministry approached, crowds of people beheld Jesus triumphantly arrive into Jerusalem and bring an Old Testament prophecy to fruition. In John 12:15, it confirms that, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." And they shouted their hosannas, and they waved their palms, laying them down in front of Him along with their cloaks. They celebrated Him as He entered into Jerusalem. And throughout the Holy Week, we continued to see, we could watch what He does for His love for us. He even made it all the way to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, and even Pontius watched Jesus with amazement and intrigue. Pilate interrogated Jesus and declared in John 19:6, "I find no guilt in Him." Yet when the crowds continued to call for His death, Pilate invited them to behold King Jesus, saying, "Behold your King." In all of these ways, God invites us to behold Him and His love for us in Jesus Christ. Not just words of instruction. No telling us what to do from afar. Rather, in Jesus, God came to us and invited us to watch and witness His love at work. Jesus came to open our sin-shut eyes so that we might make Him and see Him as our salvation. The Bible invites us to walk in faith. As we heard a couple of weeks ago in Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus shows us the way, how to live and be in eternity with God, before the throne of God. Jesus invites you to walk in His steps, to walk in newness of life, Now that your eyes have been opened, he has called you to walk in his steps. He has walked the trail of triumph over death. He has stepped through the chasm of sin to salvation. He is marching you on to victory and eternal life. Following him, you can walk through even the darkest valley of the shadow of death without fear, because what was spoken of Jesus long ago is still true today. In Zechariah 9:9, we heard the proclamation made again, "Behold, your king is coming to you." Watching what he does, however, is not just something for your eyes. It is for your ears. It is for your mind, your heart, your hands and feet. It is for the whole of your body, your soul, your spirit. It is for all of you to experience. When you watch what Jesus does, the Spirit also enables you to do what Jesus does. So having received new life by those nail-pierced hands of Jesus, you go about the hands-on work of Jesus as his apprentice. You become the apprentice of Jesus in this world. Just as Jesus showed compassion on people who were invisible to society, his love creates within us a desire to care for overlooked people. Transformed by the weighty words of Jesus, you can now speak God's words of truth to the world. Though you may not feel ready, Jesus is ready to send you out with his word, his peace, his love, and his power. And in that, as you watch what he does and you walk in his steps, you will be equipped and you will be given the power that you need to walk in his steps, to live as Jesus lived, to invite others to come along the journey and walk in his steps as well. People often turn to YouTube to learn new things. Yet people will turn to you to learn about Jesus when they see you walking in his steps. They'll want to know, what makes you different? What makes you the way you are? Loving, caring, compassionate for others. Even willing to sacrifice of your own desire to lift up another. And when that happens, you'll find that you're ready. When they do, let them find you imitating Jesus and walking in his steps. Long before there was such a thing as YouTube, the Apostle Paul told the church in Corinth to be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So in other words, Paul is telling them to watch him and learn the ways of Jesus. Paul has studied, he has watched, he has practiced, and he is embodying the ways of Jesus, so much so that watching Paul is like watching Jesus. May we aspire to be like Paul, who aspired to be like Jesus, right? As we follow Jesus, walking in his steps and growing into that newness of life that he has won for us through the cross and the empty tomb, we watch what Jesus does, do what Jesus does. So let us watch what Jesus does with all that we are and imitate Jesus to an extent that allows others to see Jesus in our words and in our actions. Let us watch what he does and walk in his steps this Palm Sunday. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for not just telling us about your love, but thank you for showing your love through Jesus. As we watch Jesus and walk in his steps, empower us by your Spirit to let your love show through us to others. We want the world to see you through us. Amen.